The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. If you'd be seated for a moment. We have, Ray, I'll call you up. We have the distinct pleasure this morning of having Ray Smith with us. Ray was a member of Grace Church about 15 years, and several years ago moved away without permission from, as I understand it, anyone in the parish, including your rector. But Ray's come back to share a little bit of his story with us this morning. So, Ray, the pulpit is yours.
Let's bow our heads and let us pray. Dear Lord, you have given us so much. May we never take you for granted. May you bless what I say today so that it may reach all those who hear this. And may you direct my rambling so I may finish speaking way before the congregation has finished listening. Amen. Talk about speaking to the choir. In the previous 2 services, everyone, I got hugs and kisses. I walk in here and the first thing I hear is, "He must be here to ask for money." Thanks, guys. It's a great welcome back. It's wonderful to see so many familiar faces. Most of you, actually. I want to ask you a question. It's one that hits you between the eyes. But do you hear God? Over the years, God has spoken to all of us. God started with his call to Abram to leave his home and family and go to a totally unknown land. And the Bible reads, "So Abram went." It's a true calling. We hear of God's voice from the heavens at the River Jordan, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. An angel of God spoke to Mary, and she replied, "Here I am, Let it be according to your word. But when God spoke to Jonah and told him to go to the land of Nineveh, Jonah ran from God. His ramblings took him out to sea where he almost died. But he was saved. So when God called him a second time, Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. I believe that God speaks to each of us in many ways. But how often do we actually hear him? Well, about 10 years ago, I had taken on the role here at Grace of the stewardship chair because there are a lot of things going on financially with budgets, a new building campaign. I approached this as a businessman, and many of you know I was very factual. It was a dollars and percentage goal, and we measured the success financially. Well, one day Taylor asked me to go with him to a two-day seminar in Washington, D.C. It was a very nice hotel. And we walk into the lobby. We're ready to register. And they've got tables laid out all over the place with different publications to aid in the developing of a quote-unquote stewardship plan for your congregation. There wasn't a lot of direction prior to that on stewardship, with the exception of Father Mike, those of you who remember, had a Chicago-Alabama plan, and we'll talk about that going on. But listening to one of the first speakers, it was Sister Jose Habde. She was a Native American nun, and she was speaking about growing up on a reservation. She spoke of her mother's teachings when she was young, and there was a young girl in her class that coveted a locket she owned. When she told her mother about this, her mother told her to give the locket to the classmate. Well, it was very precious to her. And her mother insisted that she give it and explain to her that if things are so important that you cannot give them away, that you no longer possess them. They possess you. And our wealth can do that. Well, I got to tell you, this was a hard pill for me to take. I was just coming into my own financially. My business was thriving. And I thought about the thought about giving away my stuff was really a hard pill to swallow. Later that day, we were given a lunch, and Taylor and I went out of the building because it was a wonderful warm day. And at one point, Taylor stepped off to talk to Kat, to call Kathy, and I was contemplating what the morning was all about. Well, I heard this voice talking to me, and I knew it was my conscience telling me to keep an open mind because a lot of what was placed before us was, as I said, a little bit shocking to me. The afternoon in seminar, several people shared their testimonies about their spiritual giving and their path to tithing. They told of the ways many ministers tried to get their parishioners' attention, and I think the first thing in that is that we all are on the same path. We were taught many tricks of the trade, so to speak, on how you could, things you could say, key words and things like that. One of them, speakers, spoke of a minister who has just begun a building campaign, and he was standing in the pulpit and announced to his congregation, "We already have all the money we need to construct and to completely furnish the building that we're about to undertake." Wouldn't that be a great way to start a building program? But unfortunately, it's all still in your wallets. Well, I remember that. I was so impressed with it, I wrote it down. And I thought, man, I'm going to use this in stewardship. Well, those of you who have been here know that it never came up until today because I just didn't have the nerve to use it. But we were starting a building campaign here at Grace, and I just thought that would be perfect. Well, that evening, I was laying awake and couldn't get to sleep. All the stuff was running through my head. And I heard another voice. And this I knew that the voice was just reminding me to think about my tithing testimony. We were challenged during the day to explain how we got to tithing. And my way was through Father Mike's Chicago, Alabama plan. And I did it the hard way. The plan was sit down and calculate how much you're giving, what the percentage of your income you give each year, and increase it every year by 1%. Well, I was giving 2%. The previous year before Mike introduced that plan. And I was having I'm a commission salesman, those of you who don't know that. I was having my best year ever. So I took a step in faith and I went from 2% to 5%, which means I more than doubled what I was giving. Well, the following year, my income dropped 50%. Now, we kept giving what we had pledged. Never had a problem financially, but my 5% became 10% and I became a tither. Wasn't planned that way, and thank God it doesn't always happen that way. But the blessings that we never went without anything, God truly provided anything that we needed. That was the first time in my life. I always gave Christmas gifts, birthday gifts. I came from a large family, 7 children. And I can remember giving gifts, but it really never meant as much to me as giving at that time to the church did, to actually get to a tithe. The joy that I felt in answering God's call, whether it happened one way or another, it happened. But the second day we went back to the seminar, and I thought for sure I'd get to tell everybody my story, but they didn't ask. But we got into the nuts and bolts of running a stewardship campaign. The facts and figures that would lead us to success. And those of you who know me know that I'm a numbers guy. Well, near the end, just before our worship service, they challenged each of us to commit to sharing our testimonies, to go out and teach about God's call to everybody to be a good steward of what God has given us. Well, in the silence just before that service, I heard somebody shouting. I can remember what was said to this day. And it was said directly to me. It said, "This is what I want you to do at this time and in this place." And that was the place being here at Grace. I looked around to see who had shouted, and I realized that it was the third time I heard a voice in my head. And since this is something that I would have never thought of on my own, I knew God was talking to me. Well, that was the only time that I actually heard a voice. But God has never stopped talking to me. I'm constantly trying to discern what He's calling me to do. Well, a few years after that seminar, my wife Penny and I received a windfall profit. Somebody offered us $1 million for a house, and we took it. And we purchased a business. Well, that business eventually failed, and all the money was lost, and we were also left with a great debt. But throughout the financial debacle that followed, we just continued to faithfully tithe our income to God's work. Many times we had to joke about it. We actually sat down one day and said, well, we just finished our taxes, and we said, well, our personal income, our taxable income is zero. So what's 10% of that? We continued to be blessed with things beyond financial measure, and that took me to a different level in my life. We continued to give our time and our talents because we literally had no money to give. But we continued to work with our local community, and those of you who know me, my passion is to feed people. So we set up several different programs where we feed everybody. I'd like to say we feed the poor, but we feed everybody. We just do meals which are open to the public. This year, just like your Thanksgiving, I hope to feed about 200, 250 people for Thanksgiving on Wednesday night. But the experience of all of this brought so much joy into our days, helping those that were less fortunate and just helping people in general. I'm diverting from my, you're all in trouble now, because if I don't follow my script, I can take 5 minutes into 20 minutes real quick. But just earlier today, I went to the adult class and saw a video called Rich, and everybody should see it. It basically is all about the fact that everything we have in our life, our ability to work, the money that we have, the gifts, the things that we receive are all gifts from God. It's all a gift. When I was growing up in Roman Catholic tradition, we were told to bring our troubles to God. And I can remember my first grade teacher was a nun. I went to Catholic school for 8 years. And we were told that you in your mind, you physically walk up to the altar and place your gifts under the foot of the altar. And it was an open altar just like this. And I was very good at it. I mean, for 8 years, we went to church every day except for Saturdays. And I would consistently, in my mind, walk my problems up, and I would lay all my problems up at the altar and give them to God. I was great at it. It would allow me to worship without any concerns. And then when the service was over, I proudly went up, picked them all up, threw them over my shoulder, and walked out with all the troubles. I just couldn't turn things over to God. I mean, I knew God was going to help me with everything, but I couldn't just say, okay, it's in your hands. It wasn't until everything eventually led to bankruptcy that I realized, especially financially, that everything is out of my control. Lord willing, no one here has gone through a bankruptcy, but they literally tell you what monies you're going to have left, what you're going to have left, and what you can do with them. They even tell you how to spend the money that you're currently earning. It's not a pleasant thing. But if you're not in that position, you've never possibly experienced the fact that you have to. I mean, I literally had to say, God, it's in your hands because I've screwed it up so badly. And for the first time in my life, I actually put it in God's hands and left it there. And he has done a wonderful, wonderful job with it. Many times when things look the bleakest, I remember a poem. It's one of my favorites. It's called Footprints in the Sand by Carolyn Joyce Carty. And it's a story about a man at the end of his life walking down a beach, and he turns back and he looks down the beach as though he's looking back on his life. And he sees many times when things were toughest, he only saw one set of footprints in the sand. And when things were really good, there were always two sets. And he basically talked to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you abandoned me? And the Lord said, my son, my precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your time of trials and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints in the sand, it was then that I carried you. And that has meant more to me as we've gone through our last several years with both financial and medical problems, that I realized that for the first time in my life, I've been able to just give it all to God and not worry about anything else. It really is a wonderful, joyous thing. Well, for many years I heard people say, when it comes to charity, give until it hurts. Well, after all that we've gone through and be able to come out the other end, I can tell you that the expression you should be using is give until it feels good. Because the joy of giving to the glory of God is just amazing. I invite you to do the same, and hopefully without experience the loss that it took me to finally give all to God and trust in his grace. Because the bottom line is that without God, we are dust. I always think of that Ash Wednesday service. Remember, man, that you are dust and unto dust you shall return. Everything we have is given to us by God. Our very being. Everything is a gift. So I ask you to listen for God and to God. When you consider your pledge this year, I ask you to be open and embrace what I call joyful giving. At my church in Virginia, we actually call it the Joyful Giving Campaign, because the word stewardship, for most people, as soon as you say it, and I've been doing this now for many years, because I feel God has called me to teach and talk about our call as good stewards of the Lord. And when you say the word stewardship, you see many people, their eyes kind of glaze over, and you can see their mind is turned off, because everybody thinks, well, and as I got it from Tim as I walked in, they're asking for money. I learned to trust in the Lord, and I gave everything over, and he's doing a much better job than I ever could. I felt the joy of giving in God's glory, and I invite you to do the same without losing it all. When you receive your pledge card, I ask you to consider giving a tithe to your church. And if you can't, give a smaller portion, but return your pledge card. If you can't, make a financial commitment to the church. On that little blank line where it has a dollar sign before it, write in the word prayers, because that's something you can give that costs you nothing. No matter how you hear this call, answer it by returning your pledge card. And this shows your church family that you want to be counted as part of the church. Hearing God's call to stewardship isn't about money. That was my education through everything that I went through. It's not facts and figures. It's not percentages. It's about how God has called us to manage what he's given us. All the blessings. and to share a small portion of that, and to give joyfully in thankfulness of all the blessings that we've received. So let us not run from God's call like Jonah did. It almost killed him. Respond with joy and thankfulness. I liked in the gospel, and it just hit me during this service, that when they're talking about talents in the gospel, they're talking about coins. Why don't we think of that same thing as talents, the talents that God has given each of us, our voices for our choir, our ability to go out and earn a living. Those are all talents. Let's not be like the servant. I prefer servant to slave. The servant, because we're all God's servants, who took the one talent and hid it. If all we've got is one talent, let's make that talent blossom, because that's what God's calling us to do. Amen.
Amen.